Mark chapter 10, beginning in verse 17. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and take up the cross and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked around about and saith unto the disciples, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words, but Jesus answereth again and saith unto them, Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. They were all astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, Who then can be saved? Jesus, looking upon them, saith, With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. We find here a rich man coming to the Lord, a religious man, a good moral man, coming to the Lord and asking him a question that we better all ask him and ask ourselves, and that is, what do I need to do to get to heaven? What is it that I have to do to get from here to the afterlife, to that place called heaven? Jesus dealt with the issue in his life. He is not saying that you have to do good by his comments or by his answer. He is not saying that you have to live a good, clean, moral life. But what he is saying in his answer deals with the man's problem. Jesus knows the man's heart. He knows the issue the man has is not a moral issue, for he has done his best to keep the Ten Commandments. And the Lord does not rebuke him. The Lord does not say, no, you're mistaken when he says, I've kept these things from my youth up. But the Lord cuts to the chase. He cuts to the center of the problem. The problem the man had was his love for his possessions. And the Lord knew that he loved those things so much that he would refuse to let go of them if that needed to be done. He loved his things more than his soul. And the sad thing about this story is, he could have gotten help. He could have been forgiven. He could have gotten saved at that moment. But he refused the help that he had available. In verse 22 it says, And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved. He could have had help from the one who could help him, who had the solution, who was the solution. But he went away in the same condition he came. The reason being, he would not confront his problem. He would not admit his need. And he failed to get the help he could have had. I want to try to preach this morning on this psalm. How to not get help from God. How to not get help from God. Here was a man who could have gotten help. Here was a man who God was willing and waiting to meet his need, forgive his sin, and save his soul. But he went away without the help he could have had. Let's look at this story and see if we can find out what happened. How is it that we, knowing that God wants to help us, know that he's willing, and yet we do not receive that help? How is it that we can refuse the help that God offers to us? Well, look in verse 21. Jesus says to this man, "One thing thou lackest." He says there's one thing missing. There's one problem. There's one need. And for us to not get help, we'll have to do like this man does. We'll have to not acknowledge our lack. You don't want any help from God? Don't admit to him or to you that you have a need. Don't acknowledge your lack. Jesus said to him, "There's one thing you're lacking. There's one problem you have. There's one need you have." Now, this man had a need, and the Lord pinpointed that need. It was not a family problem. For as Jesus tells him a little bit about the Ten Commandments, he mentions in verse 19, to honor thy father and thy mother. And the man's response was, "I've kept all these things." And more than likely, he had. He probably came from a good family. He probably came from a family where his mom and daddy loved him and he loved them. His problem was not a family problem. His problem was not a friend problem. In verse 19, Jesus, in telling about the Ten Commandments, mentions these: do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not. Those commandments deal with our dealings with people. Not defrauding and not telling fibs on them and not stealing from them. And again, the man said, "I've kept all these things." And the Lord did not say, "Oh, no, 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 you haven't." Probably this man had been a good friend. He had friends and he was a friend. So his problem was not a family problem or a friend problem. We find in these verses no indication that he was sick. He's not coming for healing like so many others had. He didn't come with some kind of physical infirmity. We have no indication whatsoever. He has anything wrong with him physically whatsoever. So it's not a family problem or a family need or a friend need or a flesh need. There's nothing wrong with him, his physical body. He does have a problem, but it's not any of these things. It's not only not a family problem or friend problem or flesh problem. He doesn't have a financial problem. Here's a man who's rich. Here's a man who has anything he wants by indication while we're reading these verses. He's not going without. He's not wondering where the money for the next bills are. He's not wondering where he's going to get food for the supper table. Here's a man who the Lord said, "There's a need. You've got a problem. There's something you lack." It wasn't family, and it wasn't friend, and it wasn't flesh, and it wasn't financial. So what in the world was his problem? What in the world was going on with this man where the Lord said, "You lack"? Listen, you lack one thing. You want to know what his problem was? His problem was
He wouldn't admit that he had a problem. He wouldn't admit there was anything lacking in his life. When the Lord pinpointed what was going on, when the Lord showed him where his need was, he rejected it. He didn't accept it. He turned and walked away. His problem was he would not admit that he had a problem. But that did not change the truth. That did not undo the fact of what Jesus said. He said, "One thing thou lackest," and that was the truth. And I want to tell you this morning, until we come to the point to where we realize I need something from God, we'll get no help from Him. I'm preaching this morning about how not to get help from God. Refuse to admit you have a need and you'll get no help, even from God. Even God can't help somebody who won't admit their need. How can I not get help from God? Don't acknowledge my lack. Don't admit I have a need. It's amazing how many people think they have no need or no lack. And boy, in that shape, in that condition, they're in a dangerous spot. Here's a man who walked away from salvation. Here's a man who walked away from the help he desperately needed. And the real reason was he would not admit his problem. He would not acknowledge his lack. Verse 22, two of the saddest words in the Bible. He went away. He turned away from Christ and went on probably back home. He turned away. Oh, here's the Lord of heaven. Here's the God of heaven and earth. Here's a God who knows the man's need. And listen. He's willing to help him to meet that need. He would have forgiven him. He would have cleansed him. He would have birthed him into the family of God had the man just accepted the message and acknowledged his need and believed on the Lord. He would have helped him, but he went away. You want to know how to not get help from God? Number one, don't acknowledge your lack. Number two, don't appreciate your Lord. I use that word loosely because this man wasn't saved. But the truth's still there. Here before him is the opportunity to get the help he needs. Here before him is the God who could help him. Here before him is the chance to get the help and the need met. But he turns and walks away. Oh, instead of walking away, he should have fallen on his face and said, "Oh, thank you, Lord, for having mercy on me. Thank you, God, that I'm not already in hell." He should have appreciated the opportunity that the Lord was giving him. But instead, he didn't appreciate the Lord. He turned and walked away. And people do that every day. And people do that in every service. And I hope there's no one here this morning who does that. God has brought you. I don't know the circumstances of how you got here. Somebody may have bugged you to death to where you finally said yes. And you really don't even want to be here. But you need to recognize something. The God of heaven brought you here to hear this message. And right now he's saying, "You got a need, but I'll help you with that need." Whatever your need is, the God of heaven is here this morning to help you and to help me. But we have the option of turning and walking away and saying no. And if you do that, you won't get any help from God. I'm preaching this morning on how to not get help from God. Number one, don't acknowledge your lack. Number two, don't appreciate your Lord. The thing about God, He tells the truth. You may not want to hear it, neither do I. The truth usually hurts. When God tells you, you are a sinner and you deserve to go to hell, and without Christ you'll go, that rubs us the wrong way. We don't want to hear that. But listen, if it's the truth, it's the truth. And us not wanting to hear it, it rubbing us the wrong way, us not liking it, doesn't change the reality of the truth. It's true, whether we like it or not. And the Lord loves you enough to tell you the truth. If you don't appreciate that, you can walk away, but you'll walk away without help. How to not get help from God? Don't appreciate the Lord that'll tell you the truth. Don't appreciate the Lord that will say, I'll help you if you'll come. Don't appreciate the fact that you're still alive and you're not dead and already in hell, or you're not sick worse than you are, or your problems aren't worse than they are. Don't appreciate the fact that God's been good in spite of it all. You see, He's like a good father that takes care of his children. Some of that obligation they will not appreciate. They don't like Dad saying no. But sometimes the right thing is Dad saying no. And they don't like Mama saying, hey, you did this wrong, or that's not right. They don't like hearing that. But sometimes Mama needs to say, that's wrong, no. And if that's true in the earthly realm with mamas and daddies, how much truer is it of the Father of Heaven? He'll tell you the truth. But He's doing it because He loves you. He's doing it because He knows the truth. He knows you. He knows you and He knows me. And He will tell us the truth whether we like it or not. He knows what we need better than we know what we need. How to not get help from God? Number one, do like this man. Don't acknowledge your lack. Number two, do like this man. Don't appreciate your Lord. Verse 21, Jesus hits the nail on the head, deals with his problem, deals with his issue, deals with his lack, deals with his need by saying, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor. He is saying, here's your real problem. You love your stuff more than your soul. You love your riches more than your salvation. And Jesus, the verses say, verse 22, and He was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. What that tells us is this. The Lord said, here's your problem. You have a love problem. You love things more than your soul. You love stuff more than eternity. You love things and possessions and the money and the dollar more than you care about your eternal soul. He had a love problem. And because he had a love problem, he went away without help. How can we not get help from God? Do like this man. First, don't acknowledge your lack. Secondly, don't appreciate your Lord. Number three, don't address your love. He just didn't address the problem. He just wiped it out, brushed it under the rug. He didn't address the problem that he had, which was a love problem. He loved stuff too much. Hear me. He could have gotten help. Listen, he could have gotten help, and he didn't, and it was his fault. Not the Lord's, not the disciples. It was only one person's fault. It was his. And the reason was he did not address the fact of, hey, I love stuff too much. He just ignored that. He ignored what the Lord said. He did not address his problem. He did not address the fact, I love stuff too much. If stuff means more to me than eternity, I love stuff too much. That's what he should have said. But he didn't, and he went away without the help he could have had because he didn't address his love. He didn't face the problem. So I'll ask us, I'll ask you personally, nobody else, just you, what do you love? Huh? What means the most to you? What do you love the most? Much of our trouble can be traced back to what we love. I'll prove that in just a second. Much of the problems we go through can be traced back to what we love. Now listen, like this man, I mentioned some things that wasn't his problem. Maybe you think you got a family problem. And listen, there's some things in family situations that all you can do is pray about. That's honest. And there's some things that won't be fixed easily or quickly. But we also must face the fact that it may be at least partially my fault because I got a love problem. I want my way. I love me. And it's not near as much that I got a family problem as I'm just like this man, I got a love problem. And until I address my love, until I address the real problem, even God can't help me. Don't you misunderstand. There's sometimes you walk as close to God as you can and you'll have a scallywag for a husband or a wife or children or parents. I understand that. I'm not talking about that. But I'm saying there's some things that we can get some help on. There's some things God wants to help us with. But we'll not get help until we face the fact it may just be me. It may be my fault. It may be at least partially. I want my way too much. I love me too much. You may think you got a friend problem. It's not really that. Near as much as you want everybody to treat you right without you treating them right. Now don't misunderstand. People will drive you crazy. People will do you wrong. People will stab you in the back. You can do the best you can sometimes, and they'll still stab you in the back and hurt you and smile while they're doing it. But we also must face this possibility. It may not be near as much as I got a friend problem as I got a love problem. I want a friendship where everybody likes me and I don't have to like them back too much. I want a friendship where everybody do me good without me having to do them too much good. Hey, do you hear what I'm saying? These things I'm mentioning, I'm heading there, are contrary to Scripture because the Bible says, for a man to have friends, he must show himself friendly. And it may just be we don't have near as much problems with our friends as we do our own self because we love ourselves too much. That's what that man's problem was. Listen, and he went away without help from God. I'm talking right now, he didn't address his love. He did not confront himself with the fact of, hey, listen, you do love things too much. It is your fault. You may feel like you got a flesh problem, and you may. And I mean by that, physical. And there are some times you do the best you can. You take care of yourself the best you can. And you pray and you live right and you serve God and you're faithful and you're still sick. There's times that just happens. These bodies wear out. There's times we do all we can and we're still sick. We still have a problem with the flesh, this old body. But it may just be possible that part of the reason why we get sick, you're going to love this, because I love fat back and fried chicken. His problem was a love problem. It may just be part of the, I'm saying it may be. It may just be part of the problem is I like sitting in my recliner better than I do exercising. It may just be that part of my problem is I ain't listening to the doctor when they tell me to take the right medicine, or I'm listening to quacks when they tell me to take too much medicine. It may just be that you ain't getting any help from God because you're not listening to God. And listen, are you listening? Listen closely. Anytime we violate the Word of God, we cannot expect help from Him. And He tells us to take care of the temple. And if we don't do that, we can't blame Him if we're sick because of it. I'm not talking about when you do all you can and you're still sick. I'm not talking about that at all. But here's a man, listen, here's a man who could get help and he doesn't because he won't confront the fact, I love this too much. And we can go ahead and eat and do like we want to and give in to what we love. But don't you blame God the next time you get sick. Don't you blame God the next time you end up in the hospital if this is the reason. Again, I keep pointing this out. This isn't covering everybody that's sick. You know that. But sometimes it's our fault. And if we violate the Word of God, we can't complain when we suffer the consequences. Amen. That's like fussing at the policeman when he just arrested you for robbing the bank. I'm talking about how to not get help from God. Don't address your love. Don't worry about that thing you love the most. Hey, you may feel like you got a financial problem, but have you ever thought about it may be because you love stuff more than God's will? You would be amazed at how many people think they can't do God's will because they can't afford it. Do you hear how unwise that is? That is saying, I can't do what God wants me to do because He won't give me what I need to do it. That doesn't make a lick of sense. And the reason it doesn't make a lick of sense is because it's wrong. Whatever God wants us to do, He will provide the means whereby, including financial, to do it. And it may just be that you're struggling and you think you got a financial problem when it ain't really a financial problem. You got a love problem. You love that fancy cell phone more than paying your bills. You don't want to let go of the cable, but you don't know where the money's coming from for next month. Excuse me, I like golf. And most of the golf equipment I have either swapped or gotten used or it was given to me. Most of my golf balls that I use, somebody gave me, or I found them in the woods where somebody else lost them when I'm trying to find my ball. But still, golf costs money. And if I, here's the word, love golf more than paying my bills or doing God's will or having the finances to do God's will, I love golf too much. Amen. And my problem is not a financial problem, it's a love problem. You want to know how you don't get help from God? Don't admit that. Nothing wrong with a new gun unless you can't pay tithes after you bought it. Nothing wrong with a nice car. Get them. I love hot rods. Get you one. But if you love a car more than being faithful in your finances and faithful in God's work, your love is misplaced. And until you see that and admit that and get right about it, you won't get help from God. This Bible, I'm talking this morning about, we cannot violate the Word of God and expect Him to help us. Did you read the sign out front? We cannot expect God's best if we're giving Him our worst. Violating that Word is serious. And the Word says, if you can work and you don't work, He says, you want a shoemaker version? Let them starve. Let them go without eating. And listen, it may be you're doing the best you can. And if you are, if you've done the best you can, I'm not preaching to you right now. But it may just be that it's not a financial problem like you think. You may have misused the funds that God has given you, and He ain't going to bless that. He can't bless that. It would be wrong for Him to bless that. You parents, do you award your children or grandchildren when they misbehave? If they talk back to you, do you say, here, give you some candy? God's not going to award or reward the misbehavior of His people either. You won't get help from God if you don't address your love. What do you love the most? Nothing wrong with a lot of things I could mention. But of that, hey, listen. If you love your hunting dog so much that it binds, if you can afford a hunting dog when you can't pay your bills, you're sinning against God. If you can't afford horses and do God's will, you're sinning against God if you keep your horses. If that habit, now you fill in the gap there. If that habit means more to you than you paying your bills and doing God's will, that habit has become your love. And that is idolatry. Do you think God's going to bless idolatry? No. I'm talking this morning. Hey, listen, there's really a good fact in this message, because we can get some help, but we will only get it God's way, and it can only come from God. The help you need can only come from God. And if we're violating His Word, He won't give it. How to not get help from God? The only reason you mad at me is because I'm plowing your tater patch. Hey, you want me to preach hard against everything except what you're dealing with and what's true in your life? Sorry. Doesn't preach too long to even care anymore. And while I'm here, let me say something to our preachers. That pulpit right here is not the only pulpit in the world. And what you need to do as a preacher, if you want God's will, is walk close to God, stay in that book, and you pray and ask God to give you something to preach. And if you'll be faithful and have a good attitude and stay right, He will open the door. The year before I started pastoring, I preached 76 times. Of those 76 times, probably in my home church, I maybe preached two or three times. Hey, listen, there's other places to preach than here. I'd better make sure whoever stands behind this pulpit has been ordained by God for that particular time. I had better do that. I will displease God and mess up everything if I ask somebody just because they're my friend or just because I feel pressure. Preachers, listen, you better watch your attitude. You better watch your life. Until you learn to be faithful, God will never use you.
He'll never use you. And you shouldn't be used until you make sure your heart's where it needs to be. Listen, until you make sure as a preacher that your love is where it needs to be, you just will not expect some help from God as far as opening doors. Here's a man that comes to the Lord with a need. It could have had the need met. It was not that God didn't want to, it wasn't that God couldn't. But he didn't admit his need. He didn't admit the problem. If it ever dawns on us, maybe that's why I'm going through what I'm going through. Maybe that's why things are as they are. Maybe that's why he hadn't heard my prayer. You know what I think? If we're not walking with the God and in his will, he won't hear a prayer. I believe that. I believe that's what the Bible teaches. And if we're praying for lost people, if we're praying for lost loved ones, but then we don't tell other lost people about Christ, I'm not so sure God's going to hear our prayer because we're violating Scripture. We need to address our love. We need to address our problem. What problem is there that I have? Here's a man who came to the Lord. And he went away without help, and he didn't have to. And if you're not careful this morning, something maybe I've said that didn't just sit just right, you'll resist it and go without help. Hey, this man didn't want to hear the truth. And he said, no, and walked away from God without help. It doesn't have to happen to you this morning. If the Lord would come to you right there beside you on the pew and whisper in your ear what your need is, I wonder what he'd say. But as important, I wonder if you and I would listen. I wonder if we'd be honest and admit it and say, Lord, you're right. And I just want to tell you, I want to get it right. Whatever I need to do to get right with you, whatever I need to do to get help, because I need it so bad, I'm willing to do it. That man walked away without help from God, but you don't have to. If you're lost, you don't have to leave lost. He walked away in the same condition that he was, and he didn't have to. If you're here this morning and you're struggling, listen, as I've tried to point out, this message doesn't fix every problem. But I'll tell you one thing, it will address some things that we may not think about that will help. It might just be good for you to come and say, Lord, show me what means the most to me. Show me if there's anything you're not pleased with. Show me, Lord, if there's anything I need to change. He'll tell you the truth, though, and I hope you will accept it from a heart who loves you, speaking of the Lord, not just me. There's help to be had, but he won't force it on us. And as long as we continue to violate his word, we'll get no help. It would not have been easy for him to give up his riches, but it would have been better than to leave without help. And you doing what God's putting on your heart this morning probably won't be easy, but it will be better than that. Going back out the same condition, same battle, same bondage, same trouble. Let's stand together.